Good morning. So today's Shidduch horror story comes courtesy of a new sefer, Shidduchim in Halacha, that's being put out by Reb Shlomo Dickman. It's not in the stores yet, but it will be shortly. It's Yossi Himi's brother-in-law. Ma'aseh Shehayah Kachayah. In America, when people go out on a Shidduch date, so the custom is the young man goes to young lady's house, makes a little small talk with the father, and they go out. And in Eretz Yisrael, there are some logistical problems with that approach. To do that, you'd have to run through the gauntlet of all the neighborhood kids that are hanging out. In the apartment building itself, it's a little bit crowded, hard to have a little privacy. And going to the hotel lobby in an Eged bus is not necessarily the best of settings. So typically what's done is they make up and they meet in a hotel lobby. So, the story went, Shidduch was arranged, they decided, they made up which hotel to go to, they met in the hotel lobby, they sat down, they talked, and Baruch Hashem, it went very, very smoothly, it went very well. They each called the Shadchan, said they were interested in pursuing, they set up another Shidduch date the next week in a different hotel. The young man comes to the hotel, and she's not there, waits around a little bit. Nothing doing. He does notice out of the corner of his eye there's a girl on the other side look also waiting for a shidduch date. No, it does not look familiar. He waits around for a while and leaves. Now, coincidentally, at the other side of town, in another hotel, the same scene was playing itself out. There was a shidduch, and they were just waiting for them to come. Everyone called the shadchan, and after a little bit of frantic back and forth and a little detective work, they realized that there was a mix-up. That there were two shidduchim dates arranged in the same hotel the same night. They had, by mistake, swapped. Each one had met the wrong lady, the wrong boy. But Baruch Hashem, both of them went out well. A couple more frantic phone calls. Everyone looked into the families. They decided that, listen, the shidduchim were going well. There's no reason to break it up now. The families were all zugepasst. Sure enough, a few weeks later, there was a double mazel tov. Both of them got engaged to the wrong shidduch. If there's a mazel tov, there's a shadchan with a bill. And the question is, who is entitled to the shadchanos in this case? So certainly, this shidduch happened through the efforts of both of these shadchanim. But on the other hand, which girl and which boy got engaged was a total mistake and a total coincidence. Is the shadchan entitled to get paid? What? Write a harsha. Can they get a harsha? So the question is like this. Why do you ever pay a shadchan? So as we mentioned last week, either it's schiras pilim, you hired someone to do a job, you hired a broker, they did the job, they get paid. Or when they come on their own, they're a yoyred. They're entitled to get paid. If you hire someone to paint your house, and they paint your neighbor's house, can they have a claim against you for schiras pilim? No. In this case, you hired them to read Yankel Klein to your daughter. Now, they tried, but your daughter didn't get married to Yankel Klein. So the job that you hired the shadchan to do never happened. In schiras pilim, there's no claim. Now, there's no question about it. Your daughter is married today because the shadchan read Yankel Klein, set her up in this hotel, and as I say, the rest is history. But that wasn't what the shadchan was hired to do. It wasn't hired to send the wrong, send him to this hotel. That just happened on its own. So if you want to know, did the shadchan do what they were hired to do? Absolutely not. Now, what about Yoyrid? If a shadchan on their own reads a shidduch, and the shidduch goes through, they've created this benefit for you, they've provided this service. So even though you didn't ask them to do it, they provided the service, they're entitled to get paid. But here as well, what do they do as a yoyrid? As a yoyrid, they set up your door with Yankel Klein. She's not married to Yankel Klein. So what they did as a yoyrid is not what the shidduch that went through. So in Hachanami, through their trying to be yoyrid, it set off a chain of events that made a shidduch. But as we're going to see, to be a shadchan, it's not enough that you set off a chain of events that led to a shidduch. And if you make a bar mitzvah and you invite, or chasna, you invite a few friends from different, and two people are sitting next to each other, they start talking, I have a son, I have a daughter, and a shidduch happens, you're not a shadchan. You may have set the stage, you set the table, but you're not the one that made the shidduch. So here too, as well, the shadchan that went ahead and read a shidduch happens to have been in this hotel at the same time as someone else. It's true that from that, it led to an engagement, but it wasn't the shidduch that they read. And therefore, in this case, the parents get off the hook. They do not have to pay shadchanis to anybody, and therefore, Harsha is not going to help because you don't owe anybody any money. Okay, so wait, we'll get to that in a minute. This case is a little bit more extreme because this is a case, if you're a real estate, you're brokering a property. The fellow flies down to look at the property. He's not interested. But on the way back, he's driving to the hotel to the airport. He sees another property. He stops and he buys it. So it's true it happened because you sent him there, but you're certainly not the broker. But again, in this case, it's not what happened. You sent him to the hotel to meet her to the hotel to meet Yanko Klein. She met someone else. So you were going to admit. Now you're raising a new question. And actually, that's the next case. The next story is...
Usually in the ship, you left this out. Usually in the ship, the shotgun stays involved after the first ship. Mm-hmm. You don't drop the shotgun that early. So whoever was continued to facilitate did participate.
That's true. You're 100% right. Whoever did the follow-up is entitled. But as we're going to see, when there's shatchanos, one part gets paid for the person who initiated, who came up with the idea, the maskil. Another part is to the goyimer. So over here, the maskil is nobody. And that's the point.
Similar to a broker, they got both parties into the hotel at the same time.
But it's making a chasana or bar mitzvah inviting two people. You invited them, you weren't trying to put together the couple that got married. You were trying to put together a different couple. Okay, so let's actually, to follow up with your case, is slightly different. So this is the next story. You have a proud father of triplets. Now, when you have three girls, you know, Baruch Hashem, it's a tremendous simcha, but when it comes time for when they hit marriageable age, you're, you know, quite busy and it's a lot of work. Anyway, he had a family friend who had a bacher, knew the family, knew the girls. And this family friend decided they would make a wonderful shidduch for the oldest of the three triplets. They set up the shidduch, they went out, it didn't go anywhere. But the young lady decided, this is not for me, but for my younger sister, I think this makes sense. So they went back to that shadchan, a different shadchan, and sure enough, the shidduch went through. Is the first shadchan entitled to get paid? Is this the same as the case that we just discussed, or is this different? Now, it's the same. The shadchan set up one daughter with this young man. Ultimately, that daughter did not get married. It was the younger daughter, and therefore, the Avnei Nezer says in such a case, the shadchan shouldn't get paid, and he makes the following cheshbon. As far as being a yoyrid, he says with the cheshbon we just made, you were a yoyrid to help out the oldest daughter. So you didn't help out the oldest daughter. Nothing came of it. You're not entitled to anything. That's as far as the kalah side. But what about the chassan? The chassan, you were a yoyrid. You set out to get this young man a shidduch, and you were successful. So perhaps from the chassan side, where you were working, trying to help him, you should be entitled to half of the shadchanos. But then he says, wait a second. As far as the shidduch that happened at the end, the younger sister that got engaged, that wasn't your idea for her to get married to him, so you're definitely not the maskil. You're not the goyimer either, because you're not the one that set up the dates with the younger sister. That happened with someone else. What he said, on the other hand, you did contribute. By reading the shidduch, getting the families talking, convincing each of them that the families meshed, that added something to the process, and says, therefore, you're an emtsoy, you're a middle. However, he says, the practice today is not to give shadchanos to the person in the middle. You have to either start it or you have to finish the job. The people who contributed along the way, the Avnei Nezer says, do not get shadchanos. And therefore, the Avnei Nezer says, in such a case, the shadchan gets absolutely zero. Oh, very good. So, Okay, good. So Madib Shitulay to the Avni Nezer, the Hari Basamim says differently. Hari Basamim says that no, we don't look at the Shidduch so much as this young lady with this young man. We look at the Shadchan's job finding two compatible families that are willing to do Shidduch together. And that is the Iker Chachma, that's the Iker challenge of a Shadchan, getting the families together. Or he says, negotiating how much of a nod in each they're going to give and they're going to accept. And therefore, he says, Adarabba, even though you didn't know which, you know, older girl, younger girl, that's not so important. The Iker is getting the families together, and therefore, he says, you certainly are a mafsel, you're entitled to a share of the Shadchanos. Now, if you look at the tshuva, what he says, and he speaks of that very explicitly, the case that he's talking about is the young lady who was 6 years old. Now, one was six, the other daughter was 12. When you're dealing with a shidduch where the girl is either 6 or 12, the shidduch is not being read based on their character traits, how intellectual they are. It's completely based on the families. It's an arranged match. So it's true they might have to meet and see each other once, Pashat Atzal Gemara, but the entire shidduch is the families agreeing we want to do a shidduch together. So in that case, the argument is very, very logical that the ikar of a shidduch is getting the families to come together, so the person that got the families to agree is a maskel, whether it's the oldest daughter, the youngest daughter, or whether one of his sons decided to marry the other person, it's irrelevant. Your point is to get the families together, and therefore he says, I'll call upon him, you have a din of a maskel. Now today, we don't marry off our daughters when they're 6 or 12 years old, where certainly the bulk of the, although how important the family is will vary on the circles and vary depending on the people involved. But certainly the heavy lifting or the biggest question is whether the young, the chassan and kala, are the right for each other. So there, in that case, I think everyone today would agree to the Avni Nezer that getting the families together is not called a maskel. You have to actually be working on getting the chassan and kala together. And therefore, it's more mistava today, like the Avni Nezer, that if the other child gets engaged, there would not be any shadchanos. With difficulty, as we discussed. It's a lot more official than you might imagine. If you don't discuss a price and you hire someone, he gets paid kapach shabapayolim, the minimal amount that's acceptable, but there are minimums. Now, the challenge is that the minimums, you know, normally, when you buy a piece of meat in the store, however much it costs, it doesn't matter who's buying it. So whether you're a multimillionaire or you're penniless and you walk into the store, you pay the same price for the piece of meat. And the same thing is true when you buy a car, you buy a house, there are prices, and everyone pay, if you're ready to buy it, you pay that price, otherwise you don't. What's unusual about a shidduch is how much you pay depends on the parents' wealth. Now, this is not anything new. And actually, shadchanim used to get paid based on a percentage of the dowry. They got, depending on where you were, but somewhere between 2 and 6% of the nadin. So whichever side gave more, that was the basis. You got a percentage of that. So essentially, it worked out. The larger the dowry, the more the shadchan got paid. Now, today, dowries are a little bit, you know, out of style, and we don't quite pay like that, but apparently... What? So they actually discuss what happens if it's not cash, and or it's in the future. So that, you know, that gets rather complicated. I think you want the shadchan out of your life as quickly as possible. But... while today the idea of paying a shadchan a percentage of the nadin is unheard of, but at least this idea that a wealthier shidduch where there's, you know, more money at stake pays a shadchan higher, that seems to have survived. What's also interesting is it also brought down in the Piskei Tshuva, the practice used to be that depending on how far away the families were, they got paid more. They had to travel over a certain amount of distance, the shadchan got paid more. And the argument was, because first of all, it's a bigger chiddush to know one family in the other side of the country and this, and realize they're a good match, and to get them to go out to each other was a bigger kunz. Also, to get this shidduch happen, you know, right now you work the phones, you call one, you call the other. Back then, you had to get on your horse and buggy and travel across the country. It was a big undertaking. So I guess to incentivize them, if you had to travel further, the cost of shadchanos went up. Now again, today where your shadchanim are just working the phones and the email or texting or however they're doing it, this obviously will not play a role, but we do see that the amount a shadchan got paid was somewhat tied to how challenging it was to make the shidduch. So if you are known to be a very difficult person to deal with, the shadchan, you know, it would have some basis to say, to deal with you, it's going to cost more. Paying the shadchan more, correct, because it was a bigger challenge. It makes sense. The shadchan is only going to work on such a shidduch if he has the proper incentives. There's nothing new. No. It doesn't mean that they lived out of town. There were no other eligible young men or ladies. It means they could have both lived in huge cities. But as is very common, you want to do a shidduch with someone from different circles that doesn't know you, your reputation didn't travel that far back then. So it's just getting them together from far away was what entitled them to more, not because they lived on some hamlet without anyone eligible and therefore they were desperate. Nothing to do with that. Okay, so I'll call upon him in the Avin Ezer and Hari Basaman's point is, if you bring the families together, the Avin Ezer says that's not called a shatkin. Shatkin is bringing the young lady and the young man together. That was the Avin Ezer that Hari Basaman argued, but his case was specific where they were ketanim, where the ikr was the families. Now this really brings us to a related point, and that is, when a person makes a shidduch, who owes the shatkhanas? Is it on the parents, or is it on the young couple? So from the Avin Ezer, it's certainly clear that the service that you're providing, your yoyrid, is be'ikr to the young couple. They are the ones that found the shidduch, and they're the ones that they're getting married. And therefore, in theory at least, you're a yoyrid for them. They're the ones that should be responsible to pay, because they're the ones that had that benefit. Nevertheless, the Erech Shai says that the minog is certainly not like that. The norm is for the parents to pay the shadchanos. And therefore, he takes it a step further. What happens if the parents don't want to pay? They get into a fight with the shadchan, they're not paying. Can the shadchan, now the shadchan knows the parents are a tough, seasoned business, they're not going to get anywhere. Can they go, and the chas and kalor, they're young, they're starting out, they're a little bit easier to deal with. Can you send a bill to the chas and kalor? So Erech Shai says no. He says, even though they're the primary beneficiary, the shadchanos is really for them, since when you did the work, it was with the expectation that the parents are footing the bill. So in that case, if you go ahead and do work for someone, but it's understood that even though you're doing the work for him, you're getting it paid by someone else, he says your only claim is on the parents, and if the parents don't pay, you would not have a claim against the chasen and kala. Now, Afal Pikein, the Shuvas von Hagois, and the Shuvah from Rebelsky, both write that even though Al Pidin, you cannot go after the young couple. That's Al Pidin. Nevertheless, because it's brought down that not paying the shadchan can cause all sorts of problems with the shidduch and brought down with children, he said, nevertheless, the right thing to do is for them to pay. But in you can't force it in Beis Din. Since even though the service was done for the child, but it was done on behalf and with the expectation looking to the parents to foot the bill, in that case the claim is only on the parents, and there would not be any direct claim against the children. In the case of a yasim where there is no, the Erech Shai's point is that when you did the shidduch, you were looking towards the parents for payment. If the parents clearly weren't going to pay it. If it's a Baal Tshuva, the parents are not, you know, they're not involved at all, then Ein Chanami. Then it's Mistavra, either the Chasen and Kala would pay, or if there's someone in Apotropa, someone who takes care of them, and they call the Shadchan, please read a Shidduch, there's probably an understanding the person who calls the Shadchan is the one that's going to be responsible at the end. But certainly, if there's no, if in a case where they're not looking to the parents, then they would look to the couple, and they're the ones, the beneficiaries, they're the ones that would have to pay. Now, just there is a bit of an interesting question. What happens if, in the middle of the shidduch, the parents decide they don't like this young man, and they tell the daughter, "We don't want you to go ahead with it," but they wake up a little bit too late in the process, and the daughter says, "Afal pikein," and she gets engaged and married against her parents' objections. The Shadchan then comes, and to add insult to injury, hands the parents a bill. They want to pay for the Shidduch. What? They hand the Shadchan a bill. So are the parents meshuvet in such a case? Now, I guess it may depend on what happened. If the parents asked the Shadchan to read the Shidduch, so you ask someone to do the job. He did the job. He did the job very well. The fact that sometime along the process you decided you don't want to remodel your kitchen, but if you hired him to remodel the kitchen, he remodeled the kitchen, he can give you a bill. And the fact that afterwards you changed your mind and you decided this is the wrong style, the bottom line is you hired him, he did the job, and in that case, it's partial, he would have to pay. Now, on the other hand, if you didn't ask him to read the shidduch, he did it on his own, so then why do you have to pay him? As a yoyrid, he went ahead, he provided a service, he gave you a certain amount of hana and benefit on his own, and you have to pay a yoyrid even when you did not ask him to do the job. So here yesh ladin. Is that considered a service that has hana to marry off your daughter to this good-for-nothing son-in-law that you don't get along with? So here already it's not so pashut. If you can argue that this is not called a hana, Befrat, where he can say tole tzecha v'avanecha, which I guess would be interesting application over here, then in, if he's only coming as a yoyrid, you have to declare whether or not it's a hana. It's mistavra, even if you're not happy about the shidduch, it probably is a hana, the fact that she's out of the house and she's actually married. Tan lemesiv tandu, but you'd have a nice shaila. Well, his argument is I only have to pay you as a maskil when it comes to a completion, which is what we wanted. If at the end of the day now I don't want it, he's arguing you weren't not mahanami. So it goes back. If I hired you to be a maskil and you did it, then I agree. You did your job, you get paid. But if I never hired you, you're a yoyrid, and now I had no hana from it, I don't have to pay you. Like Lamasha, what happens if they get married and it turns out they find out after they get married, and a few weeks after the marriage, it turns out he's on pills, he has all sorts of emotional issues, they get divorced. So in that case, you would have a very clear claim against the Shadchan that why do you get paid? Because you're a yoyrid. You provide a service that had value. Setting up my daughter with this person who needs to be institutionalized is not a hana. So 100%. Because we're not penalizing you for being a rasha. Your payment is you provided a benefit to me. It's not a benefit if this person, again, belongs in an institution. Now, you can't take this too far. The fact that afterwards they get into a fight or things don't work, the Shadchan is not meshubit to their shalom bayis and to his mental stability for the rest of their lives. But if at the time the shidduch was made, there was a real mum, he was not capable of staying married, setting up, fooling them into thinking, again, not maliciously, but setting this up and getting them walking them down the aisle is not a hana. It's a tremendous tsar and tremendous hefzid. So the Shadchan in that case would have to give back the money. Masha'enkein, if something changed afterwards or things just don't work out, like we said, the Shadchan is not meshubid, is not an arev on their shalom bayis until for the rest of their lives. Yeah, so if you're a broker and you're coming as a yoyrid, you go ahead and you broker a building, you're a yoyrid. You put together the deal. And now it turns out there is a mekach tois from the beginning to the extent that the buyer can say, here are the keys, give me back my money. The transaction, we know now the transaction never took place. Now it's true, by a shidduch you'll have to give a get because of a choyim b'raveshes ish, etc. But it was a tois meikara that creating such a shidduch is not a hano, it's not a yoyrid. Okay, so you'll have a very difficult question. At what point does it become a mekach tois? In other words, are you going to annul the kedushin because they didn't know there was a genetic disease? That's a pretty drastic position to take. What we're talking about over here is where it was a mum, which is literally a mekach tois. Where if we're dealing with mominess, they'd be able to say, here's your money back, here are the keys, give me back my money, the sale was a tois meikara. If it rises to that level, the Shadchan provided absolutely no value. He wasted everyone's time, effort, embarrassed everyone.
no one gained from it, and therefore, if he got paid, he would have to return it. If it's something which information came to light and you decide you don't want to move forward, or they decide, now they find out there's an issue, they decide to get divorced, but if it doesn't rise to a level of a mekach tois, then the shachin provided value. The young couple didn't work out, they decide to separate, then you know that's their decision. So you'll have to look, is this something which is serious enough that it was the kedushin, or at least in a mekach u'memkar, would be considered a mistake, a tois, and could be reversed? Or was it a valid kedushin, but now for whatever reasons things didn't work out and they decided to break the shidduch? No, there is. But if at some point the parents give notice, we're not paying, and the couple says, afal pikein, we want you to continue reading it, so then they're like yesayimim. They're telling the shadchan, do it for us. And in that case, I think as far as the goyimer, the shadchan would have a claim. Now, they may have to wait for it, because I don't know what's going to happen, where the money will come from. But in that case, where clearly the parents are out, they're not interested, they're against it, the stum of the Erech Shai Svara does not apply. So again, the details of these cases of what is a mekach tois, what isn't a mekach tois, when you swear, is it asuyulit or not asuyulit, as you can imagine, are somewhat subjective. You can have many a good din Torah over, but the point, at least, that needs to be made is the idea that you're a yoyerid when you're doing it on your own, you're skiris payalim when you're asked to do it, you're getting paid for the hanor, for filling the job. If there's a mum, if there's a defect which is enough to be mavatal it, then already it changes everything, and there's no hanor, you're not entitled to any pay. Now, if the shidduch breaks before the actual chasana, they get engaged, but then they break beforehand. So that we mentioned last week, the Darkei Moshe says it really depends on when the minhag to pay shadchanos is. In some places, they paid shadchanos as soon as they got engaged. If that's the case, if it breaks afterwards, the shadchan did his job is over, and he's entitled to get paid. Other places, the minhag was not to pay shadchanos until they got married. That essentially means the job is not considered finished until the actual marriage. And in that case, if the shidduch breaks in between, the Rama says that there is no claim for shadchanos. Now, even in a case where you normally wait until the chasana to pay shadchanos, if this particular parents paid the shadchanos in advance, as soon as they were so excited by the engagement, they paid the shadchanos, and then things go sour, so they already, there are tshuvas that say they don't get their money back. Because by paying the shadchan, they're essentially saying, here's your money, your job is done. You're finished. So even though normally it's not until the wedding, because we say there's like a tnai that the job is not done until then, by paying earlier, you're showing that to you, they did theirs, they're entitled to their money, and therefore a refund you're not going to get. But if you don't pay them, if the minhag is not to pay until the wedding, then if it breaks beforehand, then you would not have to pay. Now today, most in Eretz Yisrael, the minhag seems to be to pay by the tnaim. You do not wait until the chasana to pay shadchanos. In America, it seems most people do pay by the engagement or shortly afterwards. Most people do not wait until the chasana. However, it's not universal, and therefore it's hard to say that al pi din there's a clear chiyuv to pay earlier. When people do pay by the engagement, from what I understand, if the engagement breaks afterwards, even though technically al pi halacha the shadchan would probably have the right to keep it, nevertheless, it seems that in most cases the shadchanim do return the money. But again, that's just informal. What appears to be, I can't say it as halacha psuka, because adrab and Shulchan Aruch it's mavur that if you pay earlier, that you don't get your money back if the shidduch breaks, unless there's some form of nekach tois. So now, the next issue we have to deal with, after discussing who's responsible and why you pay a shadchan, the next question we have to deal with is, who is a shadchan? And these questions come up all the time. And if you think about it, when you hire someone to paint your house, it's usually pretty clear who painted the house and who gets paid to do it. Whoever came in, you hired him, he did the work. When it comes to a shidduch, things are very often a lot less formal. One person will come up with the idea, he'll pass it along to another person. That person will read it to the chassan side. He'll call a cousin who knows the kala and have him talk to the kala side. They'll start talking, they'll get a no. A few weeks later, someone else will get involved, push again, they'll get a yes. Then someone has to go back and forth, arranging the shaduchim. If things hit a snag in the middle, very often another person will get involved. And finally, when there's a mazel tov, we have a mess. We have a shidduch, everyone's happy, everyone wants to pay shadchanus, but we have a question of who is entitled to it and how do we divide the shadchanus among everyone, among all the parties. Now, in general, however much shadchanus is, and it'll depend on the place, it depends on the circles that you move in. Let's say shadchanus for this kind of person is going to be $3,000. No matter how many people are involved, it's just the question of how to slice the pie. How to divide that $3,000, who gets which chunk of it. You can almost never go ahead and tell the parents or the chasim kala that there are so many people involved, you have to pay shadchanus twice. You have to pay more than one person. It's generally a question of one job was done, but instead of one person doing it from beginning to end, there were a lot of partners in this endeavor, and we have to figure out who did what and how to pay them. But to pay more than the normal shadchanus, in typical cases, that's not going to be on the table. So what is a shadchan? Who is called a shadchan, and how do we divide the shadchanus? So in general, we find three basic concepts. There's a concept of a maskal. The person who comes up with the idea that these two families, this girl, this boy, it makes sense together, and actually reads it to the sides, is called the maskal. Now, in a clean case, he calls the chassan side, he calls the kala side, talks to them, he gets a yes. But then the parties decide, and this happens very commonly, you'll have a young married couple, they'll come up with the idea, he knows he has a chavrusa, she has a friend, it's a wonderful idea, they'll speak to the parties, they'll get a yes. But the actual back and forth, very often you want a seasoned professional that'll actually do the handling and setting it up, the negotiating. You don't want to leave it in the hands of this young couple. So in such a case, you had the couple was certainly the maskal. They came up with the idea. They got both parties to a yes. But then they stopped. A maskal, the minhag is to pay a third of the shadchanus. So in that case, the young couple would be entitled to, if the shadchanus at the end is $3,000, the young couple would be entitled to $1,000, so one-third of that. The goymer, the professional that you bring in to actually go back and forth, set up the shaduchim, talk to everyone whenever it's appropriate, lie to them, get everyone to move forward and to actually close the deal. So they are the goymer. They're entitled to two-thirds. And anyone involved in shadchanus, or for that matter, for selling real estate or selling used cars, closing the deal is what takes the real experience and real expertise. You have to get everyone on the same page. You have to smooth over all the issues. The goymer is the one that's doing the heavy lifting, and they're generally entitled to two-thirds of the shadchanus. Now, probably the biggest question that comes up is, what do you need to be considered a maskal? You'll have some people who, as soon as they hear you have a daughter, will say, oh, I have a bunch of boys for you, and email you a list 40 pages long of every boy in Lakewood. Now, eventually, or ultimately, there's a good chance that your daughter will get engaged with someone on that list, and they'll be the first person to pop up and say, this is my idea first. Now, obviously, that's an exaggerated case. But the question is, if you have an idea, you're schmoozing, say, hey, what about this person? What do you have to do to be actually, to be considered a maskal? So among the earlier paiskim, there's a discussion. What some paiskim say is actually you have to speak to both parties, and you have to actually negotiate the amount of dowry that's going to be given. Now, it's not clear whether you have to get to the end of the negotiations, but at the very least, you have to start those negotiations. If you get it to that point, that's already enough. You consider a maskal, you started the process. So even though you can't get it to the end, it falls apart. You need to bring in a professional to close the deal. Nevertheless, you're a maskal, you're entitled to a third. What later paiskim say is that that's not necessarily needed. If you're the one that came up with the idea, and without you, this shidduch would not have happened. So you go to both sides. Certainly if they both say yes, you're a maskal. But even if one party says no, but they're talking to their friends and they mentioned, yeah, this person was red, I said no. That friend says, wait a second, no, you shouldn't say no so fast. Gets involved, pushes it through, and closes it. In that case, we're certainly the first person's initiative that directly resulted in the shidduch, even though they didn't get that far, it was their idea. The shadchan that came later was simply following up and building on your idea. So in that case as well, you'd certainly be entitled to get paid as a maskal. Where things get much less clear is what happens if one person's reads a shidduch. And one side says yes, the other side says no. Later on, a second person comes, reads the shidduch, unaware that this already had been broached before. The second person comes and he gets a yes from both sides. Shidduch ends up going through. So as far as the goyim error, that's certainly the second person. He's the one that got it done. What about the master? So over here, we'll have to break it down. As far as the maskal from the kala side that said yes to the first shadchan, so the first shadchan is almost certainly entitled to 1/6 of the shadchanos. Why? Because the maskal is entitled to 1/3. But 1/3 means 1/3 from the chasen side, 1/3 from the kala side. The person that got the kala side to say yes is certainly a maskal from the kala side. So her portion of the maskal, which is really a half of 1/3, which is 1/6, he's entitled to. On the chassan side, where he got a no, but later on someone came in and got a yes, here we have a machloikis and just push a question to mitzias. If when the second person came, you know, the parents of the chassan said absolutely not, we're not interested, they had zero interest. The second shadchan came and got them from an absolute no to a yes, fully on his efforts, he'll be considered the maskal as well. Because the first person contributed nothing. The second person did all the work to get to the yes. Masha Enkain, if the first person softened up the chassan's parents, he wasn't ready to say yes, but he heard very nice things. They were thinking about it, okay, put it in the back burner, we'll look into other things first. Now the second person built on that and got to a yes, they already, many places will say, the first person is still considered a maskal, even mitzad the chassan. So in a case where the maskal started it, but he got nowhere, and the next person had to start from scratch, then the second person would be considered the maskal. On the other hand, if the first person contributed something, that even though we needed a second person to get to the yes, but it was a combination of their efforts together, then he's entitled to something. Again, whether it's whether they're going to share the haskalah or whether we completed the first person will depend on the case and depending on which paiskim. But that is the basic question: is did the person at the end of the day play a role or not? Now, as you can imagine, there are many other scenarios that are less clear. And Mirtz Hashem, next week we'll go through some other practical stories.